when that marketplace starts to tap more and more and deeper into the capacities of people to really produce, to produce high quality, great service, that is tough competition. And there needs to be some paradigm, some way of thinking, not just working harder with the old paradigm, not just improving our attitudes with the old paradigm, but a new one that will enable us to become really, truly competitive. And even more competitive in the sense that our whole tradition has been to tap into the intellectual and the creative resources of people, to tap into their initiative, to their innovative and inventive capacities, because we value individualization a great deal. We value the rights of the individual. The fourth C, if you have down now, change, competition, and capacity. The fourth C, which I suggest well expresses the concept of a compass, is contention. Until an organization has an extremely high trust level in the culture, in the people, it will not tap all that capacity, even though it's there. But if you could get a buy-in by all the people to a set of principles, if they valued those principles so deeply that it governed their behavior, you would eliminate all of this adversarialism, or at least most of it, for the critical mass. And you would set up a standard for those that did not participate. And they would tend to select themselves out because the norms and the mores are so strong inside that organization. And if there are natural kinds of contention starting to take place between two departments or two individuals, maybe because they're not as mature as they need to be, they're a little threatened by competency around them, they have what I sometimes call the scarcity mentality, they have a hard time seeing life as having plenty for everybody and to spare, so they hesitate to share profit or to share recognition or to share opportunity or to share power, you know, to empower people. They hesitate, even though they might give lip service to it. You may have some of that. But if you can get a critical mass of people that deeply buy in to a set of principles and value them so deeply that it creates the social norms, this is how we do business around here. And when we have a difficulty, we go to the other people. We don't badmouth them behind their back. We absolutely refuse to get all this negative synergy going on between people, where people are just embroiled in a kind of political fight, and there's all the niceties and cosmetic, superficial techniques on the surface, but there's all these emotional wounds and hurts and traumas underneath, and people are nurturing them, resentful, see? And then they protect themselves, and then they have to use legal language to describe all agreements, and everything has to be written down, and you live in memo haven, and you get into an absolutely thicket of obsolete roadmaps. So consider those four ideas behind the idea of a compass. Change, the ability to not only live with change, but flow with it, thrive upon it, because it's the reality of the day. The idea of competition and what we are up against in the marketplace, and a growing international marketplace, the possibility of a global market, one market, hopefully free, fair, bringing out the best in everybody. The third, to tap into the capacities of people, to use all those other cylinders that presently are lying dormant. And fourth, to build trust, to overcome the contention, to build the emotional bank account so that problems can be solved through synergy, through communication and synergy, rather than through politics, fighting, flighting, position power. or through, at best, compromise. It's not necessary. I suggest principle-centered leadership will deal with all four areas magnificently. The Far Eastern expression, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. When you teach people principles, you make them independent of you. When you take a little child and say, do this, and then teach the principle, why do this? And if the situation changes, the principle will hold, but the practice will not. Now, if it's too little, maybe they won't understand. But the more you cultivate understanding in the head of another person as to the underlying reasons behind certain practices, then when the situation changes, you know, you're into a wilderness, the old practices no longer apply. But the person has developed the internal ability to fish, if you can see what I mean. They can think through that reality, and they tap into true north, to the compass, and they think through, now, what are the principles that operate here? And then they deliberate on that and apply those principles and develop new practices. You know, Arnold Toynbee, the great historian, said that all of history can be written in a simple little formula. Challenge, response. Here's the challenge that is given by the environment, by the world, whatever. And here is the response that is developed by the individual, by the institution, by the country, by the society, or by the world. Challenge, response. Now what happens is, little by little, these responses get codified. They get put into cement. They work so well. And people love them because they work so well. And they get addicted to them. They get to be part of the very way they think and the way they perform. And they're very good. They're good procedures. They're good practices. They work. But then, because of change, there's a new challenge. And the old practice no longer applies. The old practice is obsoleted. You move into a wilderness, and you're out there with a roadmap. You're trying to play tennis with a golf club. But if people's security comes from some sense of predictability in their life, that we have these practices and structures and systems that give me a modicum that my life's not going to be changed, they cling on to those. And as they cling on to them and try to keep these old practices and procedures and ways of doing things, little by little, the challenge rubs them out. And that is the demise of people and of institutions, even of families, that cannot accommodate the reality of, say, new children into their own family facing whole different kinds of challenges out there that they never faced in their families when they were growing up. Nothing fails like success. You know, the traditional bromide is, nothing succeeds like success. Well, that's true. Success feeds upon itself. But if the success is practice-based, nothing fails like success. But if the success is principle-based, nothing succeeds like success. Because you can immediately adapt. What's the underlying principle? See, principles are universal. They're timeless. They apply everywhere. Why? Because they are natural laws. They're not values. Hopefully, we will value correct principles. But they are not values. They are natural laws. Even if we're ignorant of them, they operate. Science is making a continuous effort to understand what those natural laws are, to gradually improve its ability to explain and predict phenomena. And that's what science does, is evolve better and better what's called paradigms of reality. Principles are the expression of reality.